Chapter 3. Tyrion! I barked to the dragon as I desperately searched the surface of the ocean for the monster. I need you to go airborne so you can be our eyes in the sky. I don't want this thing getting the jump on us.
On it!
The silver dragon proclaimed, and then he beat his mighty wings and took to the sky. Tyrion flew up 10 feet above the ship's crow's nest and then moved out and began to make a wide circle around our perimeter. Meanwhile, each and every one of us held our breath as we waited for any sign of the monster. Have you ever seen anything like that before? I asked my entire crew at once.
I've heard legends of these beasts,
Mira admitted.
The elders of our village used to call them Fanshula, or Jumping Death in our native tongue. I never thought I'd live to see the day where I saw one in the flesh.
If we're not careful, this'll be the last day we ever live to see anything, I warned as I hurried back over to the ship's wheel. Arik, I have a very important job for you, Jonas, and Gemma, all right?
All right, Dad.
My son nodded firmly with an expression that looked like he was ready to go into battle. Go gather Gemma and Jonas, and then head down to the lower deck, I continued. I need all three of you to be our gunners for right now. Load up the cannons, and then fire on Gemma's command. Do you think you can do that? Arik stood tall and stared intensely into my eyes for a second, as if he was going to say something else. But then he just gave me a half-smile and a nod before he turned around and ran to Gemma and Jonas. The ocean continued to be silent all around us, and I started to wonder if the creature had gone away completely on its own. Then again, I knew our luck. It was probably just lurking down in the depths and waiting for the perfect opportunity to strike.
He's coming up from the right, then!
Tyrion warned via our dragon bond. Brace for impact! I called out to the rest of my crew. We just spent hours repairing the Dragon Queen, and there was no way I was about to let a giant parasitic-ridden shark hurt her again. Tyrion! I asked the flying dragon above. How far is he from our ship, and how fast do you think he's moving?
It's hard to tell,
Tyrion admitted.
He's swimming about as fast as you can sail, and he's maybe 5,000 to 6,000 feet away.
I ran some quick calculations through my brain, and then realized I still had a shot to dodge the Sanshula before it tore our hull to pieces. But it was going to take some expert timing, some accurate math, and a whole lot of luck. Nadir, Lizan! I called out to the Kunag women on the sails. When I give you the signal, I want you to strike your sails as far as they'll go.
How will that help us?
Nadir answered back. It's a move that just might save our skins, I clarified.
You held the man,
the raven-haired Kunag woman announced to Lazan.
Prepare to strike the sails.
I stood stoic and calculating as I tried to time this just right. All around me, I could hear my crew calling out commands and expressing their concerns, but it fell upon deaf ears. I had to focus on our risky maneuver and nothing more. Then, once I felt I'd waited long enough, I stomped my boot into the ground and let out my command. No, Nadir! I bellowed, and the two Kunag women responded with haste. Both of them instantly began to pull on the ropes that were attached to the rigging, and the battered, tan-stained sails dropped down even lower from their perch above. The crosswinds were at our back, so they caught the sails immediately and blew them forward with a powerful gust. The sudden, violent lurch forward nearly caused me to fall flat onto the deck, but thankfully, I was able to brace myself up against the wheel. Then I felt the entire vessel begin to turn harshly, as if it were on a pivot. I held onto the wheel as tight as I could, and then watched in terror as the Sanshula's head erupted from beneath the surface of the water. The beast's jaws were open wide, ready to take a bite out of the Dragon Queen like it was a wooden burger filled with delicious Monster Girl morsels. Now that I was up close, I could see just how big this thing's teeth were. Each one of them came out to a triangular point in a circular pattern around the perimeter of the creature's mouth, and along the edges of each of the teeth were several smaller barbs that came up at the same angle. One thing was for sure. Whenever the Sanshula got a hold of something, it wasn't letting go. Thankfully, it wasn't grabbing us just yet. The shark beast let out a grumble as its nose shot past our ship with only a few feet to spare. Its wake was massive and violent, and the entire boat rocked back and forth as the briny waves threatened to overtake us. Hold fast! I commanded. It missed us! We need to— Before I could finish my sentence, I saw large tan blurs spring off the Sanshula's back toward us. The goddamned parasites. There were 5 of the oversized creepy crawlers in total, and each one landed onto the deck with an obnoxious thud. Once they had stopped moving, I gagged at just how gross they actually were. The parasites had 5 legs on each side, each one bent at the midpoint so they rose up on their tiptoes like a spider. They had shells on their backs that looked like a singular turtle scute, completely dark tan in color, with a few pointed bits up the spine and cracks all throughout. Round black bodies stuck about halfway out from the underside of the shells to reveal a pair of pincers dripping with water and drool, as well as 2 sunken, glowing red eyes. These were some ugly motherfuckers, and they were now on our ship like ticks on a dog. I braced myself for the inevitable attack, but to my surprise, the parasites scuttled over to the nearest mast, threw their face against the wooden pole, and began to gnaw on them like they were corn on the cob. "What the fuck?" I gasped. "Why are they eating the wood?" If they were parasites that feasted on the Sanchula's blood, wood shouldn't be on the menu. Then again, this was a fantasy world with all kinds of fucked up rules, and just because something was impossible back in my world didn't mean anything here. So I shook off my shock and focused on the problem at hand. Between the size of these bastards' jaws and their pure determination, I was sure they'd be through the mast in a matter of minutes.
"Let's show them what we can do, Morphos,"
Dalwin commanded her troop. The butterfly women drew their fan blades from their holsters and then charged at the parasites with timid battle cries. Locks of multicolored hair flowed in the wind as they rose up onto their wings, flew toward the parasites, and then swung their weapons at their enemies as hard as they could. The parasites let out annoyed squeals when the sharpened bone points dragged across their backs, but otherwise, they didn't seem to take much notice of the Morphos. That is, until the butterfly women decided to go for their soft underbellies. Alara was the first to notice the weak point on the beast, and the wild-haired woman twirled her fan blade in her hand, fell down onto her knees, and then drove the middle point straight between the eyes of the nearest parasite. The creature let out a gurgled gasp as its glowing eyes went dark, and it collapsed over onto its side. It continued to spasm as its legs curled up into its body, and then the life started to drain from its figure.
"Nice thinking, Alara."
Ahuara grinned.
"Go for the underbelly."
However, the Morpho's shift in strategy was met with a similar shift from the parasites. Now, the scuttling creatures turned their attention away from the tasty wooden mast before them and focused on the threat at hand. Elzara lashed out at the nearest parasite, who instantly caught her weapon in its pincers, jerked his head to the side, and sent it skidding harmlessly across the deck. I watched as the blue-haired Morpho let out a yelp and jumped back just as the pincers snapped at the spot where she'd just been standing. Kendara jumped to her friend's aid as she came down on the parasite with a hefty blow, but her spiny fan blade just ricocheted off the hard shell and left her exposed. The parasite lashed out at her with 2 of its pointed left feet, and Kendara was just able to get her weapon up to deflect the attack before it skewered her like a shish kebab. Kendara fell down to her knees and took a shot at the creature's underside, but it was quick to roll over and use its shell as a shield. As for the rest of the Morpho women, they all seemed to be having the same problems. Parasites were used to blending in with their hosts and not having many natural predators. But now that they realized the things on this boat were trying to kill them, their full attention was on the butterfly women and nothing more. Surprisingly, these parasites had pretty damn good survival instincts. Speaking of which, my own survival instincts kicked in as I began to wonder where in the hell the Sanchula was at the moment. "Tyrion," I asked the dragon floating in the sky, "what's the status on the shark?"
"It's approaching, but much slower this time,"
the silver dragon warned.
"I don't know what he's planning."
"Oh, he's fucking stalking," I growled. This was a technique used by great whites all the time. I'd only seen it out in the wild once or twice, but each time, it was horrifying beyond belief. Basically, when the shark found a seal it wanted to eat for lunch, it would stalk up to it slowly before it darted down into the depths below its target. Then, once it was lined up with the poor animal, the shark would rocket upward and snatch it out of the water with its vice-like bite. I was sure that was what the Sanchula was preparing to do, and I wasn't sure we would be able to get out of its way fast enough.
"Oh, darn,"
Tyrion grumbled.
"I lost him."
Shit. The creature was preparing for its final push. We needed to move out of its way, and we needed to do it fast. Maximum sails! I called out to my crew members. Full speed ahead, now! The crew didn't hesitate to obey my orders, and soon every single sail on our vessel was released to its full extent. However, I still feared it wasn't fast enough. We needed a sharp change in direction, or in a few seconds we'd all be fish food. The sail trick wouldn't work again, as we were now being propelled by the wind at our backs, nor would dropping the anchor while we continued to attempt to move forward. All that would do was move us in a circle, plus there was no way we'd be able to get it down in time. Then I realized I had a portable anchor, or at least an ally that was nearly as heavy as one. Malky! I commanded Arik's water dragon. I need you to go up to the bow of the ship.
Got it!
The adolescent water dragon agreed, and then he lumbered up the deck to the very edge of the bow. All right, I continued. Now here comes the tricky part. Tyrion, I want you to let us know the second you see the shark appear. Like the absolute second. Then, Malky, when he sees it, I want you to throw all of your body weight onto the bow as hard as you can.
As hard as I can?
Malky gasped.
Won't that break the bow?
She's a sturdy ship, I reassured the water dragon. Just get ready to do it. Malky and I both tensed up as we waited for the signal. Meanwhile, the Morpho women were still engaged with the parasites and didn't seem to be making much progress, but the rest of my crew were still at their posts watching the chaos unfold around them. I was sure they wanted to jump in and join in on the fight, but if we wanted to outmaneuver the Sanshula, that wasn't an option.
There he is!
Tyrion's nasally voice gasped. In a split second, Malky's large body jumped into the air and was coming down on top of the ship's bow. The second his wide feet hit the wood, it splintered into a million pieces. My heart sank as the water dragon went over the edge, but at the last second, I saw his body twist in the air. He turned around so he was facing the ship head-on, and then clamped his strong mouth against the edge. Malky's entire body weight hit the Dragon Queen at once, and I felt the back end of the ship tilt forward and rise out of the water. Just then, I heard a geyser erupt from behind us as the Sanshula blasted up from beneath the surface. The force of the waves against the already tilting ship threatened to completely capsize the boat, but it was able to remain sturdy as it was pushed forward by the waves. I turned my head around to see the slimy gray mass of shark as it seemed to hover in the air for a second. That's when even more parasites sprung off. Nearly 20 more of the car-sized bastards released their grip on the Sanshula and fell off into the water. Within seconds, I heard their disgusting, scuttling feet against the side of the ship, and I knew they were coming to aid their brethren. The shark fell back into the water with a giant splash, and we all braced ourselves as a wave of briny water splashed over the side of the ship and threatened to wash us away. The sea was warm against my skin as it soaked my entire body and sent a gush of salty liquid into my mouth. My eyes stung from the salty spray, but I didn't dare close my eyes in the middle of a battle. I quickly spat the water out as my vision returned to normal, and I saw the parasites were all still present and accounted for, save the one that was dead. The rest all had their spiny feet planted firmly into the deck of our ship and clung on for dear life. However, there was something vital currently missing. Their opponents.
Where are the Morphos?
Sela demanded. Oh, fuck! I gasped. They've never been out at sea before. They didn't know how to brace for a wave. Malky, see if you can find all of them before that fucking shark does. The water dragon looked at me with an expression that said, you gotta be kidding me, but he didn't voice any concern. Instead, his triangular face just released its hold on the bow and disappeared into the water below with a loud splash. Now, with the Morpho women out of the picture, the parasites returned to their original target, the ship's masts. The Dragon Queen shook to its core as the cannon suddenly went off, and then I saw bits of parasite fly away from the side of the boat. Gemma, Jonas, and Arik must have been trying to take out the creatures crawling up the sides of the ship, and it looked like it was somewhat working. Still, there was only so much they could do, and soon, about 16 more parasites came over the side of the deck and scuttled toward their feeding frenzy. That left me with a fateful choice. If I ordered my crew to go after the parasites, they would have to abandon their stations, and the ship would be left as a sitting duck just waiting for the San Shula to pick us off. On the other hand, if we did nothing, these giant crustacean fucks would chew through our masts and make our ship completely unusable.
Ben?
Mira asked as she tightened her grip on the rope in her hand.
They're going through our masts!
If only there was a way to have the best of both worlds. Then it hit me. There was potentially a way to deal with the San Shula and the parasites on our ship at the same time. We had eyes in the skies. Tyrion! Where is our shark right now?
He's probably about a mile or so out from you,
the silver dragon warned.
Right now, he's trying to turn around and come back for another pass!
Excellent, I noted. I want you to try and distract him.
I beg your pardon?
Tyrion laughed nervously.
Maybe I didn't hear you right then. I thought you just said you wanted me to distract the giant monster that could devour me in a single gulp.
That's exactly what I want you to do, I confirmed. Fly down there and try to hit him with fire or splash at the water or something. If his attention doesn't get diverted away from our boat soon, we're not going to survive another attack.
But he's gigantic!
The dragon protested. And he'll come after you the second he's done with us, I reminded Gemma's bondmate. How long do you think you'll last when that happens?
Fair point,
Tyrion agreed.
I'll see what I can do.
Ben!
Sela growled with frustration on her tongue. Hold! I commanded my crew.
But the masts!
Sela protested. Fuck. She was right. I couldn't wait any longer, or else our ship was going to become unusable. We needed to attack, and we needed to attack now. I just hoped Tyrion's distraction was going to work. I grabbed my pink stone dagger from its sheath, shoved it in between the spokes of the ship's wheel, and jammed it into place. With my makeshift wheel lock doing its job, I drew my sea glass sword and ran toward the parasites. Abandon your posts and attack! I called out as I ran.
Oh, finally.
Lazan giggled as she tied off her rope and then pulled her axe from its sheath. Nadir followed the black and white-haired woman's lead, and soon both of the crazed, deadly Kunag women ran toward the parasites with deadly intent. Their cackles of glee echoed across the deck as they charged, and they raised their axes to the ready. Sela and Amira followed suit, though with much less fanfare. The dragonkin warriors snatched up their spears, spun them around with finesse, and then sprinted toward the creatures on the deck. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a flash of bright orange and yellow flame rain down from the sky, and I realized it must have been Tyrion antagonizing the San Shula. Unfortunately for me, the parasites didn't seem as unaware of our assault as they had been for the Morphos. They pulled away from their wooden snack when they saw us coming, and then spread out with a sharp, gurgled hissing sound. Their pincers were bared as they watched us approach, and they appeared ready to defend their next meal at all costs. Why the fuck do you guys even like Ward anyways? I growled as I flipped my sword around and then lunged at the closest creature. I jabbed the tip of the sea glass blade straight between its eyes, but it instantly curled its legs beneath its body and then fell down into a defensive stance. My weapon scraped across the top of the parasite's shell and left a deep gash in its back, but no major damage seemed to have been done. Before I could think of another way to crack this egg, a different creature snarled and leapt up from my right side, and I instinctively whipped around and held my sword tight up against my side, pointed straight out like a clear glass erection. The parasite skewered himself on my blade, and his own momentum forced him further onto my sword until he was right up against the hilt. He smelled absolutely god-awful, but I suppose that was what happened when you lived in the ocean and sustained yourself on nothing but giant shark blood for all of your life. The life drained from the creature's red eyes as he gurgled and spat, and then his body went limp. I threw the dead parasite off to the side just as the first creature sprang into action. He snapped at me with deadly pincers, but I was quick to dodge to the left and out of the way. I knew any attack against his body would just result in him going prone, so I made another move. In one swift motion, I spun around my blade and then slashed it into the bastard's front right leg. The appendage popped off with a spray of clear, viscous fluid as the parasite hissed and screamed bloody murder. His anger was quickly silenced, though, when I came back around with my blade and sliced him open from ear to ear. The parasite's bright-colored guts fell out onto the deck with a wet plop. I didn't have much time to inspect the creature's innards, however, because he instantly fell forward on top of them, dead. As I looked over to my other crewmates, I saw they were doing equally as well against these bastards. Mira was flipping and twirling around her target, and she stopped every now and again to stab at it with the pointed end of her spear. The parasite attempted to match her speed, but it wasn't anywhere close to being as agile as the Dragonkin warrior. A few feet away, Sella took on two parasites at the same time, and the woman's aquamarine hair flitted back and forth as she fended off one attacker with the blunt end of her spear and jabbed at the other parasite with the second end. Nadir and Lazan, no surprise, incorporated the same technique. Both of the Kunag women stood over the remains of about five parasites whose shells had been completely crushed in from the top. More and more of the scuttling creatures approached the combatants, but Nadir and Lazan both had mile-wide smiles on their faces in response. I watched as Lazan flipped her axe around and then used it like a baseball bat to smash in the front of a parasite's shell. Then, while it was stunned, she twirled the axe in her hand and brought the sharp edge into the creature's belly with a wet schlunk. Nadir, on the other hand, just went for straight-up link-in-a-pottery-shop smashing. The raven-haired raccoon woman slammed her stone axe into any parasite that approached her, and it seemed to do the trick. Bits of fluid and spackles of parasite shell sprayed into the air as the creature collapsed onto the ground, and Nadir didn't even pay her actions much mind before she moved on to her next target. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the bright orange hair of Ahuara and the beautiful blue locks of Elzara resting up against the side of the deck. Both of the Morpho women looked like they were fine, but they were soaked from Poseidon's embrace and looked like they were on the verge of shell shock. I just hoped Malky could rescue the other four. Three more parasites scurried toward me, and I instinctively reached down for my dagger before I realized it wasn't there, since it was currently serving as a wheel lock. Shit. It looked like I needed to improvise. I couldn't take on all three of these bastards at the same time, but I sure as hell could take them out one by one. I just needed to get them separated. So, instead of standing my ground, I ran straight toward them, but at the last second, I crouched down and forced myself up into the air. My body flipped over the parasite in the middle, and I landed on my feet immediately behind them. They tried to halt their momentum, but it was already too late. I thrust out my sword just beneath the body of one of the creatures, flipped him with the blunt end like a hamburger, and sliced him open. Then, as he fell to the ground and writhed in his own innards, I spun around and struck the parasite on my left. I knew he'd go down into his defensive position, and he played right into my plan. Because if he was in a defensive position, he couldn't attack. Which meant it was now just me and the other parasite, for the moment. The creature on my right snarled as he lunged forward and tried to snap up my neck with his pincers. I ducked down and stabbed at his belly, but the big old bastard was quick on the draw. He knocked away my sword with his thin, spear-like leg and then attempted to skewer me with four of the others, but I leapt to the side just as the deadly leg swished past my body. Then I ducked down, lashed out with my sword, and sliced off one of his bottom legs. I caught the severed parasite leg before it hit the ground, jumped back to my feet, and then proceeded to stab the parasite with it about a dozen times before his eyes went dark and he fell back onto the ground, dead. Now that I had one of the creature's limbs in my hand, I realized just how deadly it was. The thing had the heft of an obsidian blade and felt like cold, hard bone in my hand, yet it hadn't wavered, snapped, or bent when I used it to stab the creature. The last parasite in the group suddenly sprang up into the air with the agility of a flea. It was nearly 10 feet above me, and it positioned its own deadly legs into a point as it took aim at my head. I fell back onto my ass and watched as the parasite's legs slammed into the deck and sent wood splintering all around us. But when the bastard tried to make another move, its legs wouldn't budge. A smile spread across my face as I realized the parasite was stuck in the deck. So I jumped to my feet, ran forward as fast as I could, and fell down onto my back. I used my momentum to slide underneath the small space between the parasite and the deck and held up my sword. and the blade dragged across the parasite's exposed stomach and split him open like a log. When I came out the other side, I heard the dull thud of the creature's body as it collapsed onto the ground. Then I popped up and surveyed the battlefield once again. The bodies of the parasites now littered the deck like dead flies after the first frost of the season, and my friends stood victorious around them. "Is that all of them?" I panted as my head moved on a swivel.
"I believe so,"
Mira admitted.
"That's too bad,"
Nadir sighed.
"I wanted to smash a few more of them."
Even though I wanted to laugh at the Kunag's gung-ho personality, there were bigger tasks at hand. More specifically, the task of killing a big aquatic beast. Also, I needed to make sure the Morpho women were okay. All six of them sat shivering at the side of the ship, with Malky's large body hovering over them in an attempt to comfort the waterlogged women. "Are you guys all right?" I asked as I ran over to the butterfly women.
I think so,
Ahuara said through chattering teeth.
I thought the ocean was supposed to be warm.
It depends on the spot, I chuckled. I'm just glad Malky was able to find all of you in one piece.
Me too.
Malky shuddered.
Every second I'm in that water is another second that thing has to turn me into his dinner.
That reminded me. Tyrion was still trying to distract the Sanshula.
Tyrion,
I asked our dragon telepathically. How's it going out there?
Oh, you tell me!
He snarked back.
Yikes!
I ran over to the other side of the boat and looked out toward the silver dragon. Tyrion was far enough away that his body only appeared as a small yet distinguishable spot in the sky, and he zigzagged through the air as he blew down white-hot flames onto the water and kept moving. Then I saw what the poor guy was talking about. The Sanshula erupted out from beneath the surface, and Tyrion was just barely able to avoid the snap of his jaws.
Gemma,
I asked the Nerolope down below via our dragon bond.
Do you think we're close enough to hit the Sanshula with our cannons?
If we miss that thing, we might just give up as a marksman.
Gemma chuckled.
Then again, maybe we will. All it takes is a random wave or a sudden movement to make the cannonball go shooting off in a crazy direction. I don't know.
But you can hit it, I asked once more.
Oh, yes,
the Nerolope woman said.
As long as it's in the sky.
That shouldn't be a problem,
I noted as I watched Tyrion harass the Sanshula some more.
Just be ready to fire.
We will be,
Gemma agreed.
Your son is eager to shoot something.
Of course he was.
Did you get all that, Tyrion?
I asked the fleeing dragon.
Make him jump again,
the silver reptile responded.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Tyrion shot down flames at the water once more. But this time the Sanshula must have been prepared. The gray, slimy beast leapt from the depths at top speed, and Tyrion wasn't ready whatsoever.
Fire!
I commanded my gunners in a panic. The Dragon Queen shuddered and quaked as its cannons blasted deadly bursts of metal out into the sky, and we all watched as the cannonballs flew across the ocean, slammed into the side of the Sanshula, and knocked him slightly off course away from our friend. The monster let out a wail of pain as the large metal projectiles tore through his body and sent a splash of dark red blood out the other side. The blood cascaded down into the ocean as the creature fell over and sunk beneath the waves with a giant crash.
Do you think we killed it?
Lazan questioned. I doubt it. I shook my head. The cannonballs didn't look like they hit anything vital.
Ben?
Tyrion's voice gulped.
I don't think that worked like you wanted it to. He's turning around right now and swimming toward you guys really, really fast.
Ah, shit.
Man your stations! I ordered my crew. We have to get moving right now, or we're all shark bait!
I dashed over to the wheel, pulled the dagger from its spot, and sheathed it. At the same time, all of my friends returned to their places and began to pull the ropes, hoist the sails, and prepare to flee. Still, there was not much fleeing from this thing.
What can we do to assist, Benjamin?
Queen Dalwyn asked as she and her people approached me.
I think we need a bigger boat, I laughed darkly. Unless you can...
Wait.
Hold on just a freaking minute, that's it!
The Morpho women frowned and looked confused beyond belief.
I don't think we can build a larger boat in the time we have.
Zorandri noted. No, no! I shook my head. What we need to do is jaws this bastard. Do we have anything flammable on this ship?
Flammable?
Halara questioned with a quirk of her head. It means easy to light on fire, I explained as I started to steer the ship. Something we could use to blow up that thing! The butterfly women looked around as they pondered my question. Then Zorandri raised her hand timidly.
The colossi sap?
The sheepish red-haired woman offered with a soft flutter of her wings.
We used it to light our lanterns sometimes. That's right!
Ahuara gasped with a large grin.
Good thinking, Zorandri.
The frail redhead smiled, though she still wouldn't make eye contact with her former leader. I thought we used all of that up for the repairs, I prompted. I know my backpack was completely empty when all was said and done.
Oh, you used it all!
Queen Dalwin chuckled.
We only used half of our sap,
Kendara noted.
As did we,
Elzara said as she pointed between herself and Dalwin.
Remember,
Ahuara reminded me.
We used our leftover sap to patch up the other holes. That's why our bag was empty at the end of the Endeavor.
So, does that mean we still have 4 bags with sap in them? I grinned.
We do.
Queen Dalwin nodded.
And the sap will not have hardened without our added throat silk. Just tell us what you want to do with it.
Go grab it, and then pour it into the water up there, about 2 miles ahead, I ordered. Then get the hell out of there before we move on to step 2. The Morpho women didn't need any further instructions, and they all dashed off to the ladder, and then vanished down below the surface of the ship. Meanwhile, the rest of my crew stood anxiously waiting for anything to happen.
The Anini to distract again!
Tyrion's voice interrupted my thoughts.
Because he looks really, really angry!
If you want to try, be my guest, I replied. But I don't think there's anything in the world you could possibly do to get his attention away from us right now. After all, we just turned part of his midsection into Swiss cheese.
I don't know what that is,
the silver dragon admitted.
Though I don't think it sounds very pleasant.
It's actually very pleasant, I corrected the dragon, especially with a burger and some mayo. I spun our wheel to the right and turned our ship so it would be facing due north. That put the wind directly behind us once more, and we began to sail across the waves as fast as our vessel could possibly take us. Just then, the 6 Morpho women emerged from below deck with the leafy backpacks in their hands, and they all flitted up into the air and then looked back at me before they flew forward and tried to outrun the Dragon Queen. Their beautiful translucent white tunics fluttered behind them as they flew, and I got a view of their adorable rears as a result. Well, if we were all going to die, at least my last sight would be an amazing one. Still, I was bound and determined to live to fight another day. How far away is he now, Tyrion? I asked, our eyes in the sky.
Not far,
the dragon admitted.
Let me see if I can buy you some more time.
No need,
Gemma's voice cut through our conversation.
Arik has figured out how to aim the cannons at a downward angle. If we wait until the Tanshula is right up on us, we could try to blow it out of the water. I'm not a big fan of tempting death, but it just might work.
I'll admit, I laughed. It's a crazy plan. But it's the only plan I have right now. We have to give the Morpho women time to pour the sap into the ocean.
Pouring the sap into the ocean?
Gemma questioned with a twinge of hope.
Will that slow him down?
Even better, I explained. It's gonna blow this bastard out of existence. I spun the wheel harshly to the right, and our vessel jerked awkwardly to the left. Soon, we were horizontal with the wind, and practically floating motionless in the water.
What are you doing, Ben?
Sela called out.
Why are we stopping?
Just trust me, I responded, and that was apparently enough for my crew. My friends were loyal, that was for sure, even if they didn't necessarily understand why I did things or what I was asking them to do. They would do it if I reassured them it was all part of the plan. Now, I just hoped I made the right call. Off in the distance, I could see the large, impending shadow of death just beneath the surface of the water. The Sanshula was hauling ass, and I figured we'd made the right call. There was no way in hell we were outrunning that thing. At least this way, we might stand a fighting chance. My heart thumped in my chest like a war drum as I watched the monster get closer and closer, and my whole mouth felt dry as I clenched my fists to keep myself from shaking. Gemma was right. We were basically just taunting death and hoping it didn't come back to bite us in the ass at this point. The Sanshula was now only a few hundred feet away from our ship, and I started to sweat. Thankfully, the sound of the Dragon Queen's cannons calmed my nerves very quickly. 3 cannonballs shot off from the side of the ship and then slammed into the surface of the water, right above where the Sanshula approached. Instantly, trails of dark blood trailed up from the depths, and the creature seemed to lurch downward, deeper into the ocean. I held my breath as it continued to approach. Holy fuck! Did it not work? Did that not even slow him down? Suddenly, the Sanshula's body floated down deeper, until it was practically nothing but a shadow. And the shadow of the deadly beast swam under our ship, and then out the other side. Straight towards where the morphos were pouring the colossi sap. This couldn't have worked out more perfectly, I chuckled to myself as relief washed over me. Tyrion! You see all that discoloration in the water?
Right under the butterfly girls,
the dragon asked.
That's not urine, is it?
It's definitely not urine, I promised. We've got the Sanshula on the run, but that's how we finish it off before it regroups and comes back for us again. When it passes underneath that area, I want you to hit it with fire, okay?
What about the girls?
The dragon sounded very concerned.
I don't want to light them on fire, too.
They'll get out of the way, I explained, especially when they see the creature headed to them. We watched with bated breath as the shadow moved toward the small liquid island of sap, and the stuff must have been less dense than the salty ocean water, because it floated atop the surface like an oil spill. At least that made it easier for Tyrion to see. Right on cue, I saw Ahuara throw her backpack down into the ocean, and the other women's bags must have been empty too, because soon they all tossed them away. Then the Morpho women quickly flew back in the direction of the Dragon Queen, right as the shadow of the Sanshula passed beneath them.
Come on,
Tyrion said through panted breaths as he hovered in the sky above. Can you do me one favor, buddy? I asked the dragon with a sly grin. Before you light him up, can you say, smile, you son of a bitch! And then get the hell out of the way, of course.
What?
The dragon had no idea what I was talking about. Just... It'll be cool, I sighed.
Okay. Sure.
Tyrion trailed off.
Smile, you son of a bitch!
Then the little dragon pulled back his head and whipped it forward with force, and as he did so, he let loose a blast of flames larger than anything I'd ever seen him produce before. The deadly fire shot down onto the water, and instantly there was a spark of something more. Flames spread across the surface of the sea as they ignited the sap and turned this part of the ocean into a deadly lake of fire. That's it? I frowned. I thought it was going to... Suddenly, the entire surface of the water erupted with a massive brown-tinted explosion. A geyser of water shot up into the sky like a bomb had just been dropped into the sea, and blood and guts rocketed up into the air. Even from the safety of our boat, I could feel the heat from the flames and smell the sultry, sweet sap that had just burned up. Also, much to my dismay, I got a faint whiff of burning flesh and stale fish guts. Why the hell did it explode? I wondered. The sap should have just burned like oil on water. But maybe something in the Sanshula's body, like its blood or some type of intestinal gas, had reacted with the flammable substance and caused a more violent reaction.
Who cares? That was fantastic!
Nadir proclaimed as she jumped up and down, giddily.
I almost hope it didn't work,
Lazan agreed.
That way we can do it again.
We're out of sap, I reminded the raccoon woman. There is no doing it again. But I don't think we'll have to.
Honestly, if the Sanshula survived the explosion, we may as well just lay down and give it our lives.
Mira joked.
Because there's nothing that can kill it.
Did you see that, Ben?
Elzara cackled with glee as she and her morpho friends landed back on the ship.
I've never seen Colossi Sap do that before.
Nor have I.
Queen Dalwin agreed.
Though there was a time when a certain careless morpho left her lamp on, and it burned down our dwellings in the middle of the night.
Oh, come on.
Halara rolled her eyes.
How many times must I apologize for that?
Oh, he's definitely dead.
Tyrion snickered.
I'm pretty sure that's a Sanshula eyeball floating in the water right there. And that's definitely a severed fin right next to it.
Sure enough, we soon saw a large gray-skinned body float up to the surface of the water. Its entire upper half had been torn off, and hundreds of gallons of dark blood spilled out of the corpse and into the water. When we got a little closer, we could see hundreds of smaller sea creatures were now feasting on the remains of the Sanshula, like a school of piranhas in a feeding frenzy. Even though I was 90% sure of the creature's demise before, seeing its bloated, bloodied body made me feel a million times better. I let out a deep sigh of relief as we began to sail away from the corpse, and Tyrion landed softly up on the crow's nest. It worked! I laughed in disbelief. Holy shit, it actually worked! After a long, hard-fought battle, the Sanshula was finally dead. Now, the only thing that stood between us and the Isle of the Dragons was about a few hundred miles of ocean. So I turned the wheel, and we set our course.